I'd like to welcome everybody to the War Room. I am your guest host once again, Adam King, filling in for the great Owen Troyer, who just killed it on the Alex Jones set. We got an amazing show for you guys today. We got unbelievable guests, starting off the day with Alex Stein, Savannah Hernandez, Hotep Jesus, Charlene Bollinger. The list goes on and on and on. We're going to have a lot of fun. Before we get in, I just want to break the news. I just got a tweet that Mike Pence, the biggest loser in the room, has just announced his campaign for president. With that being said, I want to welcome in Prime Time 99, Alex Stein to the grind.
Okay, can you hear me? Sorry, Adam, my headphones. I don't know why my Bluetooth won't connect. It's a pleasure to be on the program. I see you filling in for Owen. They're working you guys to death over there, but you know I love the InfoWars crew. They never rest. They're the hardest working guys in show business.
It's a labor of love, man. It's a labor of love. So I wanted to have you on first because in all these shows that I'm doing, I'm really pushing forward the win on the culture war. And I think you're really out there on the front lines more than anybody almost with the culture war, with your, between your music, between your journalism, your spoofs, your Target stuff. I mean, it doesn't stop with you. You're just like a train that can't quit. So, like, I put some clips together. You just came out with a brand new music video, a tribute to Bud Light. Let's roll clip 10, and we'll start off there. It's a little tribute to Alex Stein's music. Oh, they don't have the clips up. What a bummer.
No.
Anyways,
no
Alex.
Worries. But listen. Well, I have a new song, Adam, coming out, My Big Booty Latina, because, you know, I'm suing AOC. Woo! And actually, part of the lawsuit, I said that I just wanted to unblock me. And now we're in the negotiation process. I'm trying to get her to follow me back. And I said that I won't disparage her and that I'll actually be respectful. So do you think that'll hurt me in the conservative world if I become friends with the evil villain herself, AOC?
I don't think that anything you can do could hurt you. I'm actually disappointed that you didn't run against Eyepatch McGee, to be honest with you. I think not running against Eyepatch McGee hurt you more than anything.
Yeah, I know. You know, you make a good point. And he's in Houston. I'm in Dallas, so I could get an apartment there. But, dude, this is what I'm really worried. Speaking of Eyepatch McCain, dude, there's – and I don't know if it's true, but there are some rumors that he might run for governor. Then I'd be really screwed. The governor of my state coming after me, dude. I mean, I don't know. I walk a tightrope with these people. And as a congressman, I'm not really worried about them. I don't even know what congressmen really do. They're really kind of just put paper pushers. I don't even think they really help their constituents.
Their job is to lie to the people.
Exactly right. So if he became governor, though, then he might have a lot more power that I actually might fear.
Do you really think he has a chance?
I don't know. I mean, you know, dude, this is why we're on InfoWars is because really – I mean, Alex, what made him famous was calling out George Bush and the war in Iraq and the war in the Middle East. And that was all conservative. So I think it's like there's a lot of evidence to prove that the people on the right don't have our back either. I mean, some of them probably have better intentions than the left overall. But that doesn't mean that Lindsey Graham is not just going to do whatever he can to get another, you know, airship, you know, whatever, battle cruiser, trillion-dollar plane that doesn't fly. I mean, the right, they pump up the military-industrial complex more than anybody, in my opinion.
Yeah, without a doubt. I was so shocked when I saw that. I mean, I'm not shocked. It's expected that Lindsey Graham is out there in Ukraine telling him it's the most righteous war he's ever seen. I mean, like, what is this? We know what Lindsey Graham is smoking. That we definitely know. He's hanging out with...
Lady G. Out with my lady, Lady G. But who cares about that? I don't even care about the rumors. Honestly, if he's gay, he'd probably be cooler. You know, really, it's just, dude, they sell us for nothing, for peanuts. Like, what is it, the Pentagon this past year had a $900 billion budget for non-defense spending. So they get $1 trillion that they can just spend on whatever the hell they want. You know, it's just, dude, if they had our back, they would actually allocate that to help black people, to help marginalized people. But instead, they kick out vets from hotels and let illegal immigrants just come here. It's ridiculous.
We're going to get to this on the other side of this break.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. Hard to believe we are about to enter the month of June. Things are really flying when it comes to world events, human events, and geopolitics. There's no better place to be than right here at InfoWars to try to keep up with all of it. Now, I have to say, the crew did a great job yesterday. Big ups to them. And I'm also looking forward to our next guest host for today, Adam King, who also has a channel on band.video. And so it's a great thing to have all these content creators joining us at band.video, expanding that platform. And of course, you for helping build it by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I do want to let you know, I am going to be back hosting the War Room tomorrow, and the rest of the week should resume normal InfoWars programming activities, as I've been filling in for Alex Jones on The Alex Jones Show. He's had to extend his time away for some professional reasons, some business reasons, so I'll be continuing to be filling in there, but I'm going to return to hosting the War Room right here tomorrow. And I've got to say, you know, normally you may notice, you know, normally I'm doing double duty almost every time with this stuff, but I've decided to kind of sit back and let some others fill in because there are so many great, smart hosts and content creators and thinkers and just members of the crew. And it's great to hear from more people and expand this great awakening with so many different minds and viewpoints and people that are getting involved. So really appreciate that. But making it all possible is you shopping at InfoWarsStore.com so that we can have band.video, so that we can have InfoWars.com, so that we can buy the URLs whenever they ban those links that you share, like MadMaxWorld.tv. It's all made possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. We want you to live a healthy lifestyle. We want you to have water that's healthy and clean. That's why we sell water filters. We want you to be prepared for an emergency. We talk a lot about emergencies. We want you to be prepared. Storable foods, InfoWarsStore.com. If you don't have an emergency food supply, what are you waiting for, folks? Take advantage of the sales right now at InfoWarsStore.com on emergency food supplies before they sell out. A lot of the products that are on sale right now, 25% off TurboForce Plus, 25% off Survival Shield X3. These sales, I'm told, are coming to an end next week, and we're almost actually sold out of those products as well. So take advantage of those sales before those products sell out. But once again, as I hand the baton here to Adam King, hosting the War Room for me today, big ups to the crew, big ups to the audience. We're really changing the world, quite frankly. So I step away now, I hand the baton to Adam King, and I will see you guys right here hosting the War Room tomorrow.
Thank you, Alan, for that unbelievable shout-out. We are back with Primetime 99, Alex Stein on the grind. This is the first segment today, kind of like a little Jew-Tang Clan. We were talking about Ukraine, Lindsey Graham going off to Ukraine. And, you know, all these people, they're just selling us down the pipes. Speaking of Ukraine, we finally got our clips up, and I want to play Alex Stein's Ukraine song really quick. Let's play clip 10, if we could, and get some of that Ukraine on the brain.
Donald Trump.
right. So we started this segment off with a little culture war clash. Alex, you have such a unique comedy style, and I think it really is highlighted by your music and everything you do. What is really your inspiration to start making? Where do you get from? Are you completely original? Do you have any comedians that you've looked up to in the past that you steal inspiration from? Where does this style, this genre come from?
Well, I'm unoriginal. I steal everything. My hero is Andy Kaufman. He's weird. He would do stunts. You know, the movie Man on the Moon starring Jim Carrey. When I saw that as a kid, I was, you know, emotionally touched, I guess you would say, in a legal way, not like what Target's trying to do to children type of way. But I'm saying, I just like that. I don't want to be like a traditional comedian. And really the music, that's just kind of, you know, it's almost like an easy gimmick. It's just kind of catchy. But really what I try to get across, Adam, like just like how Alex Jones tried to wake people up, I've realized that people don't want to be awakened. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to know about 9/11. They don't want to know about myocarditis. They don't want to know about a lot of these, the war in Ukraine. They want to worry about their job, their girlfriend, their kids. So I feel like comedy, for me, is the only mechanism to red pill people. So I try to comedically red pill people. I think that's why I've been successful, because there's not a lot of people doing it. Alex is one of the guys at the forefront doing it, and there's not enough people using comedy to kind of, quote unquote, wake people up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like George Carlin, laughter is the gateway of the heart. If you can make somebody laugh, they're open to hear whatever you got to say after that.
No, you're exactly right. It really disarms people. Because, you know, but this is another thing, Adam, I'd like to get your opinion on. You know, and I do a lot of edgy stuff. When somebody tells me not to do something, I want to do it more. But I get killed by conservatives even more. Like, I put on that Target bathing suit, and I get killed by everybody. Oh, you're a gay, homosexual, this and that. Which
we're
going to
play that one in the next segment. Yeah. After the break, we're going to play your Target for it.
And I know we're going to go to break here in a minute, but I'm just saying – I want to be liked like everybody, but I also kind of like to trigger both sides. In that song we just played, I'm getting killed by Christians too, because I'm kind of mocking that people put Donald Trump on this Lord and Savior pedestal. I don't really think that. I really don't want to give Donald Trump a BJ.
Right.
But I love Donald Trump. I'd vote for him again. But, you know, kids getting myocarditis, Operation Warp Speed, Julian Assange. I think there's a laundry list of issues with Donald Trump that I would fight.
Without a doubt.
So you can like him and still have criticism.
And I think that sarcasm is such an important point. And, you know, it's like you're in control of your own comment section in your feeds. You look at the haters, or you could look at the people who love you. I think that by far there's so many more people that love you than hate you. And, you know, we need that, like, disruptive comedy in our movement. We have been losing the culture war. And people like you, people like Bryson Gray, who came on last week, others, you know, we're just starting to really tip the iceberg and get into the culture war and reclaim the space that we've lost by just not showing up to the game. So, you know, you asked me what my thought is on conservatives and being edgy and all that stuff. Do it, man. It reaches people. It reaches people. And look where you are today as a sign of that being correct. When we come back from the break, we're going to play your Target video, and then we're going to get into some deeper concepts too. All right, and we are back once again with Primetime 99. We're discussing the culture war. We're discussing the war in Ukraine, our fake representation. And we were talking about basically his mode of comedy and everything that he does, and if it's acceptable or not acceptable. And I want to just finalize that thought, Alex, by saying that if trolling is pissing off the people that we need to piss off, and troll harder.
I agree. I think I really got to, you know, press on the gas too. But, you know, I'm very lucky that I got to deal with the Blaze, and they're letting me create content that's being extra edgy. They haven't censored me at all. As a matter of fact, I got a video went super viral. The only it's not even reprimanding, but I fed Darius, an African American that works on my show who has a potassium deficiency. I fed him a banana, and some people took it as a sexual way. So they did tell me to be a little less homoerotic, which I agreed with them on that. But I'm saying I don't want to be homoerotic, but that's what the world's becoming to, where teachers are basically transitioning their kids. So if it's like we don't do this weird, bizarre stuff, people might not know what's happening. And so it's weird.
It's a troll.
This is kind of the era. Yeah, but I'm saying this is the era of shock jock. It used to be Alex Jones and Howard Stern when they could be – it just could be different. But now it's like it's just kind of edgier. The world – reality has become stranger than fiction. We used to have to make this stuff up back in the day, Howard Stern, you know, and have to make up conflict. Now you just put a mirror to society, and it's so absurd. People don't know if it's real or not. And sadly, everything I do is basically a, you know, impression of something that I've seen on the internet or that's actually happening.
Yeah, and I know that you're a comedian and you troll and you like to be humorous and everything, but behind that, you're also extremely brilliant. And, you know, your commentary on a lot of today's topics are very well received when you show up scholarly. I want to talk to you a little bit about Marjorie Taylor Greene supporting Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy signing this deal with the Democrats, basically 98% of the IRS gets to 87,000 of their soldiers, agents, are going to stick around. What's your take on all this? You know, like, they come at us, they tell us that, you know, trust us, Kevin McCarthy's going to be our guy. He gives us this unbelievable speech. We all say, wow, that's amazing if Kevin McCarthy can actually deliver on a fraction of that, and then they completely lied to us. What's your take on all the stuff going on in the House, Kevin McCarthy, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and all those cast of deplorables?
Adam, I'll tell you exactly what I told to Marjorie's face. I understand that, you know, she's playing the game, but like I just said earlier, when it comes to Eyepatch McCain, these congressmen and women, they're really, they give us a facade like they have our back and like they're going to actually, you know, bring up the Biden crime family, but yet the FBI can block those documents from getting out. So these congressmen and women are actually handcuffed, and I think Marjorie is, she's my friend, so I don't really want to talk disparaging about her, but I mean, I would just call a spade. She's playing the political game. She realizes that McCarthy's going to be in power. Why fight with the guy? She spent, I believe, 6 years, I don't know how many years or however long it was, not being on any committees, not having any power, not being able to do anything. So basically just a lame duck congresswoman. And she aligned herself with McCarthy, and now she gets to be on all these committees. Now, is that good for society? Yeah, I think it's better that she's on these committees than some of these leftists. But still, Marjorie can't fix the world's problem. Marjorie's going to continue to vote with these people where she thinks it benefits her the best, because all of these politicians are the same when it comes to they want to keep their job. I mean, that sucks that it's like that. They have to play these political games, this political theater. And I think Marjorie's actually one of the best at playing that. But I also love Matt Gaetz when he speaks out against this. I love Chip Roy when they speak out against it. But is it going to stop it? Adam, is anybody going to be able to stop it? Was Matt Gaetz able to stop McCarthy from becoming a speaker? I mean, it was great. Kabuki theater making us think that we're fighting. But really, it's all one uniparty. And they give us the illusion of choice. But we've never really had a choice. Not in a long time, in my opinion.
Right. I don't think we've had a choice in a long time either. Maybe 2016. But then I kind of feel like Trump just kind of like folded in the middle of that whole thing. And I don't 2020 Trump, keep America great is not make America great again. And wherever Trump is now, he's not even at 2020 or 2016 Trump. So where the American First movement, where the people are, it's almost like we've been devoid of representation through a variety of ninja moves on behalf of the Uniparty.
100%. And listen, he was unfairly investigated. So there's a lot of stuff where you can kind of give Trump excuses, but there's a lot of stuff that, you know, Trump should have done differently. But this is my point. It's you see all these people on the right now going after each other, whether it's DeSantis or Trump. And then as soon as whoever wins a primary, they're just going to have to do an about face and start basically supporting the person that they were just demonizing. So I think that's very clownish, guys. Do not idolizing a politician is like thinking the stripper actually likes you. These strippers and politicians, they don't care. Like, they don't have our back. And I'm not trying to be blackpilled or try to make you feel like you don't have any hope. You actually have hope, because you can create a family. You can create a life that you enjoy living. You don't have to be a debt slave. You don't have to be, you know, just a number in the system. You can choose whatever outcome you want. But when it comes to our politicians or our elected officials, like I said, putting our hope into them is just a bet. And you have a better odds in Las Vegas playing roulette than betting on our politicians.
So we don't have so much time. I was going to play the Target clip. Everybody should go check out your Target parody with the extra crotch swimsuits.
Extra,
we're going to skip all over.
Adam, extra top protection. Extra top coverage. I mean, look at this. Why
we're
is this in
skip
the women's
that
section? Well, I want to say this. I'm not even transphobic. I'm not even homophobic. But this is just an attack on the kids. And Target's owned by BlackRock, so I'd like to see their stock go down. I mean, Walmart as well. They put every
they
mom
lost
and pop $12
billion. According to this morning, they're down $12 billion. That's insane.
Yeah,
but I want to ask you one more question. I want to ask you one more question on this. While we're on we've been on the tip of fake leadership. One of the things that I see happening in the party for 2024 is everything is like so consolidated. Vivek Ramaswamy, I just found out, is like a Soros plant. I didn't see that one coming, but turns out he's been associated with.
He's connected to George Soros. I didn't see that.
Yeah, he actually. If you Google Vivek Ramaswamy, George Soros, it'll come up. He won like this huge grant from George Soros for some like pharmaceutical company that he ran. So if you think about it, it's like Vivek Ramaswamy, fake. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Trump and DeSantis. Yeah. I want to see us field 20 candidates. We need a 2016 where we have at least 17 candidates to stand up on the stage and rip each other apart on behalf of the American people. That is what makes America First win. When we have three candidates all tied to the Uniparty, it gives us this impression. What's your take on this? Like, is there anyone else running? Do you support other people running? Have you heard anything?
I mean, I like RFK on his stance about vaccines, but I think he's also a climate change guy. So I think climate change is kind of a scam. I mean, by taxing people. So I you know, that's not going to fix the climate. So no, I don't really have a lot of hope. Even in Ron DeSantis, I think he'd be better than Biden. But listen, Biden and his son, Hunter Biden, I actually kind of like that he smokes crack. Kind of makes it normal. But I don't like that he sells us out to Ukraine or China. So if we have basically hard evidence that our highest political people, the vice president, are selling out our country and nobody does anything about it, it's hard to have hope. And we don't need to be hopeless, but it's just hard to find it. It's like, you know, grasping at straws.
Yeah, I understand that. And I also understand that, you know, we're just short on people willing to step up. So I applaud you for all that you've done for the movement and everybody else who steps up, paid or unpaid, to get the job done. It's a labor of love, and it takes an army to defeat an army. So hats off to you. Alex, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. You are a legend. Everybody, follow Primetime 99 every single day on the grind. All right, everybody, welcome back. Thank you, Alex Stein, for an amazing segment. We had a little bit of a shuffle in the schedule, so we are going to actually be taking callers at the last segment, last 30 minutes of the show. So if you're tuning in, you want to get to know me, you want to ask me questions, give us a call. The number we'll post down below. Joining us now, we got a legend in her own right, probably one of the best journalists in the country right now. Savannah Hernandez is here with us. Savannah, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's honestly my honor. I've been watching you for a very long time, and I'm very grateful that you have joined us today. There's nobody out there covering what you're covering, and you're in the streets. You're taking beatings, you're going through the mud, fighting the war of the information war, and taking names across the board. We're going to cover in a little bit your story on the migrant center in New York that you just did. And actually, before we get in, let's just play that clip. I believe it is clip number 20. There is no audio in that clip. Okay. All right. All right, we lost our audio on that clip. So when it rains, it pours, technical glitches. We'll just go through it and fill in the audio. Savannah, what did you find when you went to this migrant hotel in New York?
Yeah, so I actually sat down with a whistleblower who worked at the hotel for the past 7 months. And what he saw was absolutely insane. He alleges that upwards of 5,000 illegal migrants are staying about a block away from Times Square. And at this hotel, rooms were previously rented out for upwards of $500 a night. So when they are bused to places like this hotel, the Row NYC, they are given free healthcare, free Uber rides, you know, three meals a day, basically basically anything that they need to survive here in the United States, that and much more. They're given free Metro cards. They can also utilize IDNYC, which is New York's government identification program, which allows anybody, even those who are here illegally, to get a form of government identification. And what they can do with this ID is go and apply for employment. They can go and have access to the affordable housing program in New York. They can even open bank accounts at select institutions up there. So New York in an absolute state of crisis as the migrants continue to overwhelm the city. We saw that Eric Adams stated that the hotels in the city are already at 50% capacity with illegal immigrants. And this is just the direct result of that. You know, some of the imagery that came from my whistleblower were trashed hotel rooms, were incident reports of 10 to 14 year olds who are getting drunk, their parents just abandoning them in that hotel and checking out for upwards of a week. So the migrants are having a great time. They're partying, they're living it up on our taxpayer dime. And this is costing the New Yorkers billions of dollars.
So that expose was extremely damning, and I'm trying to upload right now the actual whistleblower's testimony to our files so we could play it. I was shocked when I heard his testimony. He was talking about underage drinking, sex, molestation. I think the biggest shock to me was when he says that the parents left. They just leave the kids there. Or they're not even real parents. They just left the kids there and abandoned them in this. So it seems like a safe hotel. It seems like it's like this place where people could just come and dump their fake children or whatever it is. And what was the story with the whistleblower afterwards? Did he suffer any consequences for his actions?
Of course, he ended up losing his job. The city of New York even went so far to say that he never worked there, despite the fact that he's wearing the official New York City badge in that video. And he did work in the city for, again, 7 months. You know, we have the proof of it. We have the documents. But what ends up happening with our government system is that the city of New York will contract out a company that will contract out a company that will then handle the migrants. So, you know, they never have to directly take responsibility for spending billions of dollars on these migrants making their way over to the city or be held responsible for the taxpayers' dollars being utilized for this. My whistleblower also talked about 2 to 3 babies per week being born in this area in New York City. And, you know, when these babies are born, they're given free cribs, free car seats. So it's an absolute free-for-all up there. And at the beginning of the year, Eric Adams signed a $275 million contract to house thousands of migrants across 300 hotels in the city. That's about a budget of $55,000 per migrant. But on top of that, they've already spent $1 billion to house these illegals. And, you know, some watchdog reports like FAIR are reporting that it could cost the taxpayers in New York upwards of $10 billion just for 2023 alone, because, again, this crisis is getting completely out of hand. We have had a record number of illegal immigration since Joe Biden has taken office. And, it's always the American taxpayer that's footing the bill.
Yeah, it's actually quite astounding how much Americans are actually suffering. 1 in 4 children in America are malnourished and don't have food. But meanwhile, 10 million illegal immigrants who have come in through Joe Biden are pretty much carte blanche, cell phones, diapers, anything that they need, they get. And what I find so amazing and which you uncovered, and nobody else seems to even bring up this story, is this is the most expensive real estate in all of America, Manhattan. There's so many other boroughs of New York that if it had to be New York, that these migrants could have gone. They could have gone to Williamsburg. They could have gone to the Bronx. They could have gone anywhere. But to congest this uber metropolis that's already congested, people who don't even speak English, people who don't pay taxes, people who don't contribute to the society, it only serves to hinder the lives of those who pay enormous fortunes just to live in these small, cramped neighborhoods to begin with. It's quite the hypocrisy.
Absolutely. And again, this is a block away from Times Square. It's a tourist hotspot. Many of the migrants were telling my whistleblower that they could see the ball drop from their hotel room, which is why they don't want to leave. Because, you know, we've seen this narrative in the media that the migrants are being bused to New York City against their will. And I asked him that. I said, hey, do these migrants even want to be here? And he says, well, they initially come to New York expecting to go to a different destination, but they end up staying because of the amount of free stuff that they're getting, because of their life of luxury here, because they're in Times Square in New York City. Who wouldn't want to live in this location?
So I personally believe it's all to subvert America, and I'm sure most of us agree with that. But why do you think that they've chosen New York and literally Times Square to dump countless amounts of migrants on the New York population?
This is just bad Democratic policy. I mean, again, not even New York specifically, but we see illegal immigration absolutely destroying this entire country. The reason why we're seeing it so bad in New York is because of their sanctuary status that they declared. It's absolutely hilarious because Eric Adams now asking judges in the area to revoke that 40-year-old sanctuary law that did require the city to give anybody shelter that asked for it, because the migrants are overwhelming the area so much. Again, 50% of hotels in New York City right now filled with illegal migrants. Eric Adams going so far even to propose putting illegal adult migrants in school gymnasiums where children are actively present. So the city has no idea what they're doing. They have no idea how to handle the situation. And it's a direct consequence of them wanting open borders and them wanting these sanctuary policies.
That's crazy. How did you uncover that they want to put them in school gymnasiums?
This is something that's being reported, and it was actually first reported the week that I was breaking this story. But there were a lot of parents that were enraged because Eric Adams did come out with a press conference and say, hey, this is the next step. We have nowhere to put these migrants. So the hotels are at capacity. Now they're going to be in your kids' school. So it's something that they're actively fighting against in New York right now. I believe one school in Brooklyn, they will not be housing migrants there because there was so much pushback. But that's the extent that the city is willing to, go to house these illegal immigrants.
So we actually finally got the audio working on the whistleblower. And when we come back from the break, we're actually going to play the entire clip because it is so important that every American sees this. Stay tuned, InfoWarriors. We'll be right back with Savannah Hernandez. All right, and we are back again with Savannah Hernandez going over her unbelievable journalism. Savannah, you should have a Pulitzer for this. Too bad they don't care about us, and too bad a Pulitzer is worth nothing anymore. But before the break, we were covering about how they want to infiltrate the schools with these migrants. Is there any other place in New York that they're targeting besides hotels and schools and public institutions?
They're also looking at potentially housing migrants in universities. So, again, this entire situation has gotten completely out of hand. And this is the city's direct response to that, is just to continue to push illegal immigrants into our school system, into our public institutions. I mean, if you look at Chicago right now, you have illegal immigrants that are sleeping on the floor of their police precinct. And, that's not a very safe situation. That's not a very conducive situation for police officers to be able to do their job. But that's what's happening now in the cities of the United States because the illegal immigration has gotten so out of hand.
Every time I turn around, you're in a new place. New York, the border, Chicago. Where are you going next? Where can everybody tune in and find you? What are you doing?
You guys can go follow me on Twitter because, yes, I am everywhere. Pride Month is coming up, unfortunately, for me, which means that I will be all over covering those events. And, that's a nationwide thing. So you guys can go follow me there to keep up with my latest.
I love your coverage when you do the trans marches and stuff like that. You really crush it. Everybody tune in to Savannah Hernandez's Twitter. Check it out. We're going to actually play the whistleblower clip now. And Savannah's going to get on out of here. And everybody, all you InfoWarriors, you've got to watch what she uncovered. This is amazing journalism right here.
I was a site administrator at the Row Hotel. So in the hotel, we have close to 5,000 migrants. Anything involving this hotel, I was helping run it. Everything ranging from doctor's visits to medication is paid for the migrants. Anything you can possibly think of, it's being given to them. Car seats, cribs for newborns. There's at least 2 to 3 babies a week being born at this hotel. The migrants being in those hotels have destroyed them. There's a lot of alcohol in these rooms. Housekeeping is there all week. and they'll clean it, and by the end of the night, there's kids getting drunk together, there's people hooking up with each other, there's multiple guns in these rooms as well. The alarming thing is that this hotel is meant to be a family hotel.
You were actually showing me some text messages between a social worker about a drunk 10-year-old in this hotel. Can you talk to us about what happened there?
Yeah, it was a drunk 10-year-old who was caught with a 14 and a 12-year-old, and all three of them were intoxicated. And when we looked them up in the system, the parents had checked out 2 days ago.
So their parents just left them there?
Yeah, the parents will leave the kids unattended in the hotel. We heard a security guard start yelling, there's a gun on site, there's a gun on site. It was probably an upset person that we had kicked out of the hotel. I myself had been assaulted. I've seen other people get assaulted. I've had threats saying, you know, we'll be waiting for you guys outside. There's been times where staff has had to be, you know, escorted to their cars, to their trains.
Because the migrants are threatening them.
Yeah. Often at times there was migrants causing chaos with shoplifting. The one instant where I showed you that video, aside from being caught shoplifting, they started getting physical. And a lot of the times it was, you know, go calm the migrant down, get him inside the hotel. I've been doing this for 5 years. And in my 5 years, this has been the worst experience by far. The city of New York does not know what they're doing, and it's only going to get worse from here.
Wow. I'm speechless. Unbelievable journalism from Savannah Hernandez. Don't expect anything less than unbelievable from that woman. But it's unfathomable what is going on in our country. And if you saw a couple weeks ago, Owen at the border, uncovering this unbelievable story, and, you know, 10 million migrants in our country. That's bigger than our standing army. I think our army is like 1.1 million people. 10 million migrants since Biden. And the most conservative estimates prior to that were that there was 11 million illegal immigrants here prior to this, anywhere between 11 to 33 million. So the numbers are just astronomical. It's like a foreign country is living inside of our borders right now. It's really mind-boggling. I want to pause on some bad news. I want to get to some good news. Our good buddy Chase Geyser just had a baby. Mazel tov to Chase. A big shout-out to you and your family. Congratulations. May your wife have a speedy recovery from the birth, and we're looking forward to good things from you. So please, everybody wish Chase a big congratulations. And we are moving on. So the next segment, our guest is coming in about 5 minutes or so. And we are going to be covering all sorts of stuff on medical misinformation. The next segment is going to be dedicated to cancer and cancer research. If you're in the cancer community, you have anything to do with cancer, you know somebody who has cancer, it is a must-see that you immediately get them to tune into InfoWars right now, call a friend, push the broadcast on them, because there's going to be some unbelievable information that is going to save lives, without a doubt. Charlene Bollinger is going to be coming on, and she is, God, what an unbelievable woman. TheTruthAboutCancer.com, TheTruthAboutVaccines.com. Her and her husband Ty have been pretty much kicked out of all of society for fighting the good fight with medicine and whatnot. So we got about 3 minutes left in this segment. There's so much to cover all over the place. The country's like falling down. Everything is falling apart, you know, and what are we going to do about it? We're going to sit here and we're just going to take it. We're going to, what we need to do is we need to be out there. We need to be speaking out. We need to share the broadcast. Infowars.com. Make sure that every single person is tuned in doing something. It's not good enough just to watch the news and post on Facebook anymore. That strategy does not work for our movement at all. We need to be in the streets. We need to bring back civil protest. We need to bring back civil disobedience. We need to you know, depending on how brave you are, don't write the IRS back when they reach out to you. Disobedience is the number one thing that we could do to fight the deep state. But it's important that we stress that we want to accomplish our victories peacefully. We don't want to engage in violence. They're expecting us to engage in violence. If we're going to win this war, we're going to do it through information, peaceful protest, through spreading of the truth, being kind and considerate to people, even when they don't deserve it. It's very important that we take baby steps with a lot of these people, especially our family members. We're not here to cancel people, although sometimes some people definitely deserve a block once in a while. But I really want to give us strength. I hope that we get it together. I said earlier in the segment with Alex Stein, it is so disappointing that we only have three candidates. And I just found out, literally, I found out from Rhonda Rohrabacher, actually, former Congressman Rohrabacher's wife. She blew up my phone telling me she found all this information out about Vivek Ramaswamy being a plant of George Soros. He has a website, I believe, if you guys want to throw it up there. There was like a Soros award that he took. I don't know if you guys posted the link, but he's a Soros fellow. Him and another fellow won a gigantic grant for a pharmaceutical company that's not the correct link. The correct link is on the Soros page. I think it's like sorospd.com or something, or .org. There it is right there. Yeah. And this is from Soros's actual website, his foundation. There he is, the wolf in sheep's clothing. I was really excited for him, you know, and I guess he won some immigrant award or something like that from Soros, but how he can run for president if he's not a natural born citizen, I don't know, first of all. But I think that this is a story that needs to get out there because nobody even knows about this. Nobody even knows. Everybody's so excited for Vivek because he's not DeSantis and he's not Trump. And right now that's all we got, as if it's like we owed Trump something. We don't owe him anything. Trump owes us. He's the one who failed with China to control Fauci. We've been taken over by all sorts of different leftist organizations. He didn't do anything to curb voter fraud in the 4 years that he was president. And now he just expects us to give him back the nomination. If we don't have Trump, if we don't have DeSantis, if we don't have Vivek, we need more people. I want to encourage all of the InfoWarriors, go run for president. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, Info Warriors. This is going to be one of the best segments of this show. Stay tuned. We are joined with an absolute visionary. Charlene Bollinger, co-founder of The Truth About Cancer, is joining us. Charlene, I got to tell you, I am so deeply passionate about cancer. I come from a cancer family. We are survivors. And cancer is a curable disease. And the big pharma doesn't want us to think that. And the work that you and your husband are doing is just so profound. I think I stayed up all night till 3 a.m. watching videos of you and your husband, wherever you could find them on the internet. You guys are incredible.
Well, thank you. What an honoring introduction. And I love being on the Owen Schroyer Show. So it's a treat getting to meet you here. Owen's become a good friend of ours. I love his work and yours as well. Cancer is a big deal. We lost 7 family members and, you know, we've been so effective. We've had many millions of views. We were on YouTube with hundreds of thousands of subscribers and many millions of views. They blew those channels up. In fact, they took the vaccine channel down first, of course, but they took the truth about cancer off of YouTube the day that Biden went out there talking about how dangerous we were because we tell the truth about vaccines, that was in the middle of the COVID scam, and we're on the disinformation dozen with Bobby Kennedy and others, which I guess you have to say, who are we dangerous to? I would say the devil that's pushing death, and we're pushing life, and we have a long, long train of testimonies from people who are alive today because of our content. So it's a racket, but we're still here.
Hospitals are the new death camps.
Yeah, so, they are. The treatments are killers.
So I want to get into cancer, and I want to give people some information that they can take with them. So many families are affected by cancer, and I'm sure that there's a plethora of InfoWarriors out there who are listening to this broadcast live right now who want to do something for somebody that they love. One of the things that I found best on your website was your cookbook, episode 10. I got to have this artichoke dip, first of all. This artichoke dip is off the wall. I printed it out. I sent it to my mother. It's really unbelievable. But there was a book that came out, Eat to Beat Disease, that really kind of lists like macrobiotic eating, and it all starts with what you put into your body. Maybe you can elucidate some of the information that you guys have discovered on beating cancer and helping people survive this through food.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think we've got under 2 minutes. Let me just be brief. There are fundamental things that the viewer needs to understand when they're navigating their way through, especially from a cancer diagnosis to complete cancer-free living. We have all of the solutions and the remedies. A lot of it is around food, but here's the thing. They need to get their hands on information. It's really harder to find now, so I encourage the audience, the viewing audience, to go to thetruthaboutcancer.com. We've got a lot of content, free content there, video content. We're on BitChute and Rumble, but at thetruthaboutcancer.com, you'll find our social media channels. Follow us everywhere you can. They don't want you to know what we're doing or see our content. Sign up for our free newsletter. There it is at the top of the screen at The Truth About Cancer. You just put your email, and we'll send you all the emails and the content, so when we make films, you'll get it first, and we air those free as well. But food. You've got to get clean water and lots of it. Distilled water is the best because it pulls toxins out of the body. Remember, you got cancer because if you get cancer, you get cancer because of toxicity. So you have to detox. You've got to reverse what you're doing to balance out the body. And the cancer will go away if you do the right things. But don't go to the conventional doctors because they're going to push cancer-causing treatments, which you said COVID. You go to the hospital during that time. We were in the lockdown. Families couldn't come and visit. And so the remdesivir treatments were killers, and the breathing machines, killers. All of these things were killers. We had the solutions. We hand-delivered them to Donald Trump at the Oval Office, and we did the best we could, but look what they did and where we are. But we're not done. We're just getting started.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to go into some nitty-gritty details and really blow the lid off cancer for everybody, which is a scourge on our country. I want to thank Charlene Bollinger, and we will see you guys back when we're back. We are back with Charlene Bollinger from thetruthaboutcancer.com, and I want to continue the conversation. Charlene, are you familiar with the work of Jane McClelland, How to Starve Cancer?
I'm familiar with the concept, and so we can get into that for sure. If that's what you want to talk about, let's do it.
Well, there's so much I want to talk to you about. I really feel like in order to do you justice, you need like a full hour. I'm struggling to condense so much into such a short period of time. And honestly, because the work that you guys do in vaccines and all that stuff is so trendy, I want to cover it slightly towards the end, but I really want to get this information out about cancer, because it's like cancer is being forgotten, and these vaccines are really just promoting cancer. One of the things that causes cancer is a mutation in the RNA where the cell of the body does not follow the protocol of something called apoptosis. And it's through apoptosis, which is cellular death, that the cell goes and dies and becomes a new cell again. Well, when a cell rejects apoptosis, it's triggered by a genetic mutation in the RNA. And then what happens is it doesn't die and it becomes an immortal cell and spreads rapidly throughout the body, and that is cancer. So what a better thing to promote cancer than a RNA genetically mutating virus that you just put in and it just changes your RNA, you know? So it's like they want cancer to be the byproduct of the COVID fiasco. If they've survived the sudden adult death syndrome, is cancer.
Yeah, we now are seeing turbo cancers, aggressive cancers, and younger people getting cancers. We see with a shot, at least the COVID shot right now, babies having heart attacks in utero. I mean, this is really just crazy. We've never seen what's happening as long as we've been alive. And as we look back in history, we just cannot find such a terror storm of an attack on our health at the cellular level. So, you know, with cancer, It's an uncontrolled growth, as you say. These cells don't die. And the thing is that the cancer cell, the way that it functions is it's hiding inside of a protein coating. So the immune system doesn't see it. Now, if you have a strong immune system will see the cancer and the natural killer cells will come and kill it, target it and kill it. But there's a reason why people get an unhealthy large growth of cancer. There's something in the body that is collecting toxins and the normal functionality of the immune system is not working properly. So there's a number of things that you can do, but just as an example of how the cancer cell functions, hiding behind that protein coating, the immune system doesn't see the cancer. They see the protein and say, oh, everything's well. We know protein, protein's our friend. Well, Nicholas Gonzalez was a brilliant doctor that we interviewed for our films. He's now with the Lord. Sadly, he's no longer with us. But when he was here, we got some really great interviews with him. He's a doctor to some of the celebrities, a lot of which he doesn't name because these celebrities don't want to be named. But he's a really well-known doctor. And just to cut to the point of this, his therapy was the Kelly therapy, which was a prolytic enzyme therapy. So you take a certain number of protein or prolytic enzymes per day, a large number of them, between 80 to 120. And these capsules will break down that protein coating. And now that cancer lights up to the immune system. And a great pairing with that is a good diet, of course, to nourish the body while killing the cancer. And B17 is another good thing to pair with that, because what B17 does is it's just a gift from God. It's in apricot seeds, apple seeds. So when you eat the apple, eat the whole apple, because, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But the science behind this B17 is that the B17 goes through your body, and when it sees a cancer cell, it's got cyanide inside that molecule, and it's only unleashed on the cancer cell. So then it opens up, it targets that cancer cell, and it kills it with a cyanide. And the chemical reaction left from that encounter is like an aspirin. It gives you pain relief. So you can just see God's infinite wisdom in just giving us the B17. So that's just a couple of different things that you can do. We include this in our films. Our films are on the products page, but we've got a lot of video content. And just click in, follow us, and you'll get the content. But the diet is critical. The modern American diet, we're eating genetically modified organisms, which are causing cancer. We're eating bad oils, which are causing cancer. We're eating processed foods, which are not food. They're frankenfoods. It's causing cancer. These shots are causing cancer. It's like we can't get away from cancer, but we can. We do have the solutions. And for us, we lost 7 close family members to get this information when we put out our first offering and blessing to the world by God himself through us to the world. We self-published Cancer Step Outside the Box, which is a great book. You can get it on our website for just a few dollars on the products page. But that book is the best book in the world. We have so many testimonies of people who have been sent out to die who are alive and cancer-free now based on that information. But when we put that out there, we got death threats because they don't want you to know the truth. We tell the whole story and we name names and we are unafraid. And this is what our enemy fears the most and what the enemy is peddling right now to get people in line, lockstep to do the agenda they're trying to roll out on us is fear. People, if they are pushed into fear, they'll do anything if they think somebody's got the solution. So that's why they hit our content so they could push their narrative and you wouldn't hear the truth from us. So you'd herd up into their lines, go get the shot, and they did it.
One of the things that I always tell people when they come to me about cancer, because I get hit up all the time for advice and information, is I tell them, unbeknownst to the public, they'd like you to believe that cancer is a death sentence and it's incurable. They use this term incurable. The fact is there are many different ways to cure the body of cancer. There's not just one cure, there's many cures. So I want you to touch on some of the alternative health treatments that you guys go over on your site. And maybe if you could comment on cannabis and cannabinoids and the endocannabinoid system, in that, if you have any information on that, that'd be very useful.
Yeah, well, there's so many different protocols, as you say, for cancer. And the bottom line for cancer is there's something that went wrong in the body. And so you have to figure out what caused the cancer, what caused your body to get out of line, out of health. And once you figure that out, then you can reverse it by treating the problem you're having, whether it's a toxicity in your colon. The first thing you should do is cleanse the colon and your microbiome, your gut health. That's critical. If you have too much bad bacteria, that's going to take over your body and it's going to cause cancer and a host of other abnormalities. So our friend is oxygen. Cancer ferments in a sugar environment. Its energy is fermenting sugar. So of course, sugar is going to feed the cancer. So you got to get off the sugar and processed foods, processed white flour, white, you know, things that have been processed. It's like eating sugar. And so you've got to get off all processed foods and things that will feed this cancer. And you've got to start putting more oxygen rich things. You can do IVC therapy, which causes oxygen to be working in your body. Vitamin D. I was just on another interview today with Dr. Joseph Mercola. We talked a lot about being in the sunlight. Being in the sunlight causes vitamin D to become very rich in your blood. And vitamin D is also really good at fighting COVID, but it's also very good in fighting cancer and keeping your body healthy and your hormones regulated. So there's a book about hydrogen peroxide. So if you get the food grade hydrogen peroxide, and I think you start out at 3 drops, 3 times a day in water, you drink this and you work your way all the way up to 25 drops, 3 times a day. And I've read testimonies, a lot of them, where people just doing that alone, and it's so inexpensive and so easy. But doing that alone, there was a mother of a kid with brain cancer and the tumors all went away just with that oxygen therapy. And as you said, cannabinoids, our body, it's like every cell has a receiver for that gift. Cannabis is a gift from God, and it's got so many healing properties. It's like the king of herbs.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. We've been very successful with the treatment of cannabis and Rick Simpson oil type methods of delivering to the system. I like to tell people that the best strategy is two things: blocking off the metabolic pathways to cancer, which you said, which is the sugars, and second is triggering the body's natural form of apoptosis, which is cellular death. And when we come back from the break, we could go deeper into the subject, and I also want to touch on vaccines and some of your other work. You got some big projects coming up. We want to bring some attention to that. When we come back, we will be back with Charlene Bolger after this break. Welcome back, Info Warriors. We are joined by Charlene Bolger, the co-founder of thetruthaboutcancer.com and thetruthaboutvaccines.com. We're having a very livid discussion on cures for cancer. There's not one. There are many. And we just, in the previous segment, went over a bunch of them. Charlene, I want to give a little bit of attention to your 9-part docuseries titled The Quest for Cures. It has all sorts of wonderful information about Big Pharma. I want to see the whole thing. You got unbelievable people in it, 150 doctors, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Mike Adams, Del Bigtree. The list goes on and on. Can you tell us a little bit about The Quest for Cures and where people can find this docuseries?
Yeah, it's thetruthaboutcancer.com. They can go to the products page, and all of our films are there. We've had a number of films on cancer, and I would say that the most comprehensive one we have to date is the most recent docuseries we've done on cancer, and that's called The Quest for the Cure's Final Chapter. And we left no stone unturned as far as cancer, what it is and what causes it and how to treat it successfully, along with highlighting the superstar doctors from around the world. We've interviewed the best doctors in America and Canada, Mexico. We heard from the European doctors that wanted a voice, so we gave them a voice. We went to Europe and to various countries over there, talking to their doctors and their superheroes, Riga Latvia, Germany, and other places. And we've gone to Australia. And finally, we went into the East, into Asia, 7 countries there, Japan, the Philippines, India, and so forth. And there are some really innovative treatments that we have been able to combine into this series and highlight doctors that are healers. And these people are superheroes. And it's crazy because they're so excited to meet us, thinking that there's something great about us. And we just make films highlighting they're the heroes, you know. And Ty, you know, was, he had a really great doctor in Asia, as an example, that cried when he met Ty. He was so happy because he had been watching our work and films. And I called Ty Hero, and anybody that knows Ty knows he's the most humble, good guy in the world. And so he, of course, turned that around and said, no, I'm just here to film. You're the hero. You're saving lives. But I have to say that I thank God that our films have saved countless lives, and we'll keep doing this as long as God gives us breath.
And it's not just your films, it's your book. The Truth About Cancer was hit number 2 on the New York Times bestsellers list, and it remained on the charts for 12 weeks. That's impressive. That just shows you how deep the message is felt by everybody who receives it. And I understand your husband and you, the humility, but you too are an unstoppable force of nature. And the work that you're doing for the world just is very profound. I want to encourage everybody to go to Amazon and take a peek at the Truth About Cancer book. You guys have several books on Amazon, actually.
We do, and they're also included on our website, thetruthaboutcancer.com, on our products page. Our books are there. We've got Cancer Step Outside the Box. We've got Monumental Myths. I think you would love that one. We get into 9/11. We get into the Bush crime family, the Clinton crime family. And we get into the satanic roots behind Planned Parenthood, GMOs, vaccines, you name it. It's a great coffee book because anything that's controversial is in the book. And it's just a couple pages per topic. So we hit the surface on a lot of things, hoping to help people to start thinking about these official stories. We get into JFK, and we get into the JFK Jr. and their death and the anomalies surrounding these events, and then the official story. And we blow those away because we've been so lied to, and you know this.
Without a doubt. And, you know, if I wasn't so passionate about cancer, we'd be going down those rabbit holes. If you tune into the Adam King Show on Bandai Video, you'll see I go in nonstop about the rise of the cult of Baal, François-Henri Pinault, child sex trafficking rings, pedophilia. All that stuff is so fundamental to my journalism and my reporting. I just happen to be very passionate and well-informed about cancer. Before we went to the commercial break...
We're very passionate. We are too. We're with you. We're very passionate. We lost 7 family members because we didn't know. And when people hear, you know, well, they ask when they hear all the information and there's all these protocols that are really helpful. Their first question is, well, if this is the case, why doesn't my doctor know about this stuff? So in the book, The Truth, Cancer Step Outside the Box, and in all of our films, from the ones about cancer and also the ones about vaccines, we get into the history behind the medical monopoly that's in place today. You know, you go back to 1910, you probably know this, Adam. In 1910, the Carnegies and Rockefeller sent the Flex brothers out to grade the medical schools because they took them, the ones that were pushing drugs, they bought them off. They put board members, they gave them money, $500 million in total back then. Today it's in the billions, but they bought the American medical schools. And this poison has infected the entire world, this mindset. And so the young kids, they're bright, they're smart, they have a hero spirit in them. They go to school to learn how to heal people, and instead they become drug prescribers. Now, with that said, they actually learn how to reattach limbs. You know, so if you get an arm cut off or you get some kind of serious emergency situation, these people really are heroes. But when it comes to degenerative disease, they did not learn about herbs or the real powerful modalities that really have worked for millennia. They just learned how to prescribe drugs. With cancer specifically, it's cut, poison, and burn. They learned how to perform surgeries. That's what killed the first one in our family, Ty's father. They cut his stomach out, sewed him back up, and 25 days later, he was dead because he bled to death. Death by doctor is one of the highest causes of death in this country. They're killing a lot of people with their properly prescribed prescription drugs and so forth. So you've got the surgery, the radiation, and chemo, and that's all they know. They're not taught, and they don't know, and as doctors, they don't have time to do their own research. They depend on the journals that they read, and these journals are not going to talk about what we're talking about. You got to follow us, and we'll take you around the world to the doctors that are healers.
One of the things that I find most astounding, and it's so hard because people say how they went to medical school for 10 years. How could you criticize their knowledge base? You know, in medical school, they don't even teach the endocannabinoid system to any doctors. Doctors don't even know what the endocannabinoid system is. And it is just like the respiratory system or the nervous system or any other vital system that the body needs to sustain a healthy lifestyle, but they don't learn it. And therefore, it's not applicable in their pill pushing when they prescribe a pill for everything. You know, and I think it's very astounding that every single pharmaceutical company will send their agents out to go follow indigenous tribesmen so that they could go find some rare plant that grows for some specific ailment, and they'll just so that they can patent the formula and make a synthetic version of it, so that, and the truth never comes out. There's so many prescriptions that are like that, and they all contain a little bit of extra ingredients that'll cause cancer so that they could push profits at the end. Cancer is the most profitable thing in America. I mean, chemo is like $60,000 per person who doesn't even have the money. So the work that you guys are doing is so profound. I really, really wish I can have you for a lot longer of a segment so we can really get into the nitty gritties of this stuff and share some other information and other doctors. You also have a Remedy coming out, a movie. We're going to the break. Give us a little bit about Remedy and then take us out to the break.
Yes, we're working on cutting that. We're releasing it in July. So sign up at thetruthaboutcancer.com. We'll get you all that information. It's amazing. I just got off with Joe Mercola. That interview is going to be cut into the final cut of this film. It's remedy.film, I think, is going to be our official site. But go to thetruthaboutcancer.com. We'll get the information to you.
All right, we are back with a little bit more from Charlene Bollinger. Charlene, before we went to the break, we were talking about Remedy, your new movie that's going to be coming out in a docuseries in July. And that is very interesting to me because it provides alternative treatments for those people who are suffering vaccine-related injuries. And in this last segment, I'd like for us to focus on vaccines and cover some of the amazing work that you and your husband are doing there. Maybe you could finish telling us a little bit more about Remedy and the plan for healing people who have all these vaccine injuries.
Yeah, well, you know, we got put on the disinformation dozen list that Biden and his press secretary, many others, have talked about and pushed. And it's a false and fake narrative. In fact, in 2020, we were working with Bobby Kennedy, as we had for years, with Del Bigtree, Dr. Rasha Bitar, and Dr. Sherry Timpenny, Judy Mikovits. We had roundtables on our YouTube after we released The Truth About Vaccines 2020, just to keep people up to date and help them to understand the dangers of the vaccine, knowing that they were going to push a COVID shot. And so they hit all of us with a lot of censorship because we had such a large audience. And yeah, those are the real perpetrators. That's right. Disinformation. That's the real disinformation dozen right there. That's a good graphic. Whoever brought that up. Great. I love it. But yeah, they hit us for telling the truth. So what we were saying in 2020 to begin, they said we were dangerous. We were lying. We were causing people to die. But now they're saying all the same things we were saying. They just waited a couple years until they pushed the shot. And the reason the viewer needs to understand this, the reason that they demonize hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and all these powerful natural, and I don't say alternative, they are the alternative. We have been around since the beginning of time with advanced medicine given to us by God, which is more powerful than anything they can create, because when they get into nature and take one active out of a powerful plant, the reason it's causing disease is because it's lacking the synergistic effects that God gave us in that plant. And when you isolate just one thing, missing the rest, you're going to cause problems. So then it causes something that you need another drug, they say. So you get on another drug and then another one. And before you know it, you're on a lot of drugs. And it's a storm for health. It just destroys, deteriorates health. But with the vaccines, we were saying all of the truthful things that would lead to life. We had the protocols. I brought two of the first protocols to Donald Trump through his daughter in D.C. We stayed at the Trump Hotel, which is now unfortunately no longer the Trump Hotel. Beautiful place to get these protocols to support him. Because remember, when Donald was in the White House, he was pushing therapeutics, and we were there to help him. We were able to gather a great team of doctors who were advanced medicine doctors. And so the reason I say that we're not alternative and they are, by definition, they're claiming to be conventional or traditional medicine. Traditional medicine, by definition, has been around for traditions or hundreds, thousands of years. their medicine is new. They just co-opted all of the medical schools and now writing the books, and they're the new kids on the block. They're the alternative. But that's the thing. They hijack language and they shift our minds. We also have a film series called Propaganda Exposed.
That's right there. They are the language hijackers.
We've been duped. We've been duped. So we have Propaganda Exposed, Uncensored. That's on our website. It was one of the best films we ever created, but it helps people to understand how they're shaping the minds and creating storms of fear to funnel everybody into these little pens that they've got for us, you know, to take the shot. So the emergency youth authorization could not have been pushed with this vaccine if there was another viable treatment for COVID. We had a lot of them, and it had to be 75 or higher percent effective. The treatments that we were able to put together, Adam, that we brought to Donald, were in the high 90 percentile for COVID. Wow. But they demonized us. They hid it. They had to, because their goal was always to push that shot. And they could not push that shot if there was another proven treatment for COVID. So they demonized all those treatments. They lied about us and the people that wanted to just save lives so they could push the shot, and they did. They pushed that shot, and I'm telling you what, when they censored us the way they did, they put all five of our Twitter accounts, they blew them up. And three of our Instagrams, they blew those up. And they wanted to take us off of Facebook, too. We stopped posting anything controversial there, so they couldn't, because we've got over a million people following us there. And we have now the communications where the White House was talking to Facebook, and the DHS and the CIA and the FBI building backdoor portals to Twitter, telling them what tweets to take down. We were listed again and again, Ty and Charlene Bollinger, the disinformation dozen, take them down. Okay, we can't take them down here. Let's broaden these rules so that they break them, so we could take all their channels down. That was their goal, because if they shut us up, then you don't have the information. And as I am now seeing people drop dead, I can't articulate enough how frustrating and how sad I find myself just crying sometimes when I think about all the lives we lost because they couldn't find us. But we're not going to stop. So the truth about vaccines presents remedy. Yes, we have the remedy. If you have serious side effects from COVID, from the shot, we can reverse that. There are doctors out there literally treating and reversing even myocarditis. So it's getting all the way to the root of the problem, to the gene. Remember, this shot is a gene therapy. So you've got to reverse the damage done to the DNA. And so we have so many different remedies, not only for the COVID shot, but also, of course, for COVID. But then you look at the measles, mumps, rubella, all of those shots. We have the remedy for the disease as
right.
well as.
I wanted to bring that up. Part of remedy isn't just about COVID. You and your husband have been fighting this and this horrible disinformation campaign prior to COVID with other vaccines, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we're going to cover it all, and primarily right now because the eye of the storm is COVID, but we get into the HPV and the people that have been damaged by that and remedies for the actual disease and the whatever they say the vaccines are treating, and the COVID shot is not a vaccine, so we're very careful not to call that a vaccine. It's by definition not a vaccine, and they try to, again, the terms. They changed the definition of vaccine to fit what this shot actually is. But I digress. Yes, we cover all of the things that people need to know to understand what a vaccine is, what these shots are, the ill effects, and how to reverse the ill effects. And there are a lot of doctors and researchers that we highlight and elevate because people need to hear them, to know them, and to learn what to do to reverse the damage. They don't have to die. That's our message. Cancer is not a death sentence, and these shots are not a death sentence. They just need the truth. We need to break the grid of censorship and reach these people with the new Bifrost to walk from our hearts to their hearts so they now have solutions and they can live a long and happy life.
Amen. And these big tech overlords and government officials, they'll do just about anything to prevent people from not dying. They just want death. They want people sick. They want those huge pharmaceutical bills that just line these lizard people's pockets left and right. It's really a disgusting thing. One of the things that my faith teaches me that I hold close to my heart, and I hope I can impart this wisdom to all of us tuning into this broadcast right now. Before God made the disease, he made the cure. And it all starts with God's compassion for us. You have to believe that God loves us. You have to believe that God wants us to heal and thrive And that's the first step of healing and recovery, is truly knowing that despite what evils man can conjure in their heart and in their labs, that God has a remedy for everything. So it's truly, truly amazing work. And I was so excited to hear that you were coming on the show today. You and your husband should be blessed, protected. You should have abundance. Your family should have abundance. And people should have a way to reach you easy. I saw on your Twitter, you still have the on your pinned Twitter point that, hello, Elon Musk, these really non-political Twitter handles are still deactivated and still censored. So we want to get the information out there to everybody. Charlene, you and your husband are wonderful. Thank you so much. Everybody, find them at thetruthaboutcancer.com, thetruthaboutvaccines.com. Buy her book, The Truth About Cancer, and her new movie coming out, Remedy, is going to save a lot of lives. Charlene, thank you so much for joining us today. All right, welcome back, InfoWarriors. We had a short issue with Hotep Jesus, who won't be able to join us, but it left open a window for us to break some real pressing news in Ukraine. We're joined by Scott Bennett, who is the head of GlobalFreedomTV.com. And Scott's going to be sharing us all sorts of breaking news that's happening in Ukraine right now. So with that, Scott, I'm going to give you the floor.
Adam, it's good to be with you. Let me just share something with you. You were talking about the cancer situation with that young lady.
Yeah, Charlene Bollinger.
Let me share something that'll be of profound interest. I found some of the words she was saying very interesting. Well, all of the words, of course. But when I was in the Army, they give you lots of vaccines, of course. And I developed a skin cancer on my back that grew and grew and grew. I didn't do anything with it. And I may have been targeted, who knows things, but it really grew to an enormous size. And I was going to go to the VA and have it cut out. And then I got kind of scared and they said, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to cut it. We're going to do skin grafts. And a friend of mine had advised me, said, Scott, there's this substance called Indian black salve. That my husband used it. It cures the skin cancer. It kills it. And the body expels it. And I got this. And I got this stuff and I put it on. And just to make a long story short, it was like Drano. It burrowed in, it killed the cancer, and the cancer was scabbed, and it fell off my back after 14 days. I put this substance
Indian
on.
Indian black salve, it's called?
Indian black salve. I've got the pictures. I took a photograph every day, and it's a miraculous cure, and I give all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Indian black salve.
That's amazing. Thank you very much.
It killed the cancer. People can contact me and I'll direct them. You know, the FDA and the big pharma hate this stuff because they want cancer. But this was the most amazing thing I'd ever tried. It killed the cancer. It expelled it. I just put it on for 4 days. Then I took it as a capsule and it just goes in and it kills it. It scabs it and it removes it. Now it does sting. It feels like bees stinging you because it goes into the cancer, it cauterizes it from the healthy cells, but it removes it. So the Lord says, behold, I am the Lord who heals. This is a cure for tumors and skin cancers. Not, let me use the word right, it's not a cure because the FDA goes ballistic with that. But me personally, it killed the cancer and expelled it. And I would recommend it to anyone who's got skin cancer or any kind of tumor, even brain cancers and stuff. It'll go in, it'll kill it, and it'll expel it. And I know a lot of your people who probably talk about natural methods will recognize this. Indian black salve, and it's miraculous. It saved my life, and I've got the photographic evidence to prove it. So I just wanted to put that in because
– Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate your recommendation. And if anybody's listening who wants information on cancer – you feel free to email Adam at theadamkingshow.com, and I will direct you to a lot of resources that were discussed earlier and other books and stuff. Pivoting, I want to get into Ukraine because you're breaking a major story right now in Ukraine, and I want to focus on that for the remainder of the segment. Please tell us what is happening in Ukraine with this false flag, drone attack on Moscow, and the United States being behind all sorts of stuff. I'll let you speak.
Well, I was contacted the day of the attack of the drone strike on Ukraine at 4 o'clock in the morning by Russian media. I do a lot of international media, and I was briefed on what had happened, and essentially drones, aerial unmanned vehicle drones, eight of which had left from Kharkov to Moscow, which is quite an escalation in the conflict, because now you're dealing with the heart of Russia, the capital of Russia. So these drones, these unmanned aerial vehicles fly into Russia. I think six of them get shot down with cyber weapons, electronic warfare weapons, and other kinetic weapons. So they don't do any damage, two of which crash into apartment complexes where there's no military targets. These are all civilian populations. In fact, the building said schoolyards beneath them. So there was no military target. This was an act of terrorism. This was to inspire terrorism. But the Russian television had said, "Mr. Bennett, what do you make of this broadcast? We've intercepted signal." And the signal was an American military voice, a man reading a code that I've bumped off and talked with some of my friends who were former agency military cyber people. And they said, this sounds like a broadcast message similar to the broadcast messages you've seen in the movies like Crimson Tide, where they receive an alert status message and they crack the little plastic case and they decipher it. Well, this was a similar sounding broadcast message that read off a specific designation, saying in the military vernacular, Foxtrot, Uniform, X-ray, Yellow, Lima, Tango, Foxtrot, Uniform, X-ray. So they've repeated the same language again. So I presume this was either one, the United States military, which is under the Biden administration, the fake president, initiating this drone coordination attack and giving notice to military forces, perhaps launching, using this as an official launch message. Or of course,
so they're saying that the United States actually launched this independent of Ukraine, or that Ukraine was the one who actually launched this drone strike on Russia?
Well, they're not giving out all the details, first of all. They're simply saying, first of all, that this has been done by Ukraine. They're not directly yet implicating the United States. I'm sharing with you the broadcast message that they shared with me, which their cyber people picked up on. And I can play that for you if you want. I've got a screen share, and I can play the actual message. And it's about 30 seconds long or so, but you can hear voice.
Yeah, sure, go for it. This is breaking news right now.
Yeah, no one's reported this on the American. All right, here we go.
Foxtrot.
You hear that?
Uniform.
Yeah. And that's clearly an American.
X-ray, Juliet, Oscar, Papa, Tango, Charlie, Uniform.
And what are we exactly listening to?
November, Kilo, Charlie, Sierra, Delta, Mike.
Scott, what is this exactly? This is the code to launch the strike?
Quebec, Alpha, Einstein, Yankee, Lima, Tango, Foxtrot.
So, Scott, that was the American side launching the drone? Is that what we just heard?
Say that again.
That was the Americans launching. That was the drone launch. That what we just heard. Those codes.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that yet. We don't know that yet. All we can say is this code
definitely
was intercepted.
Sound like a Ukrainian. That was an American accent. That was like some boy from Mississippi.
That's right. And I won't play the whole thing there. I can send it to you, and you can play it. On the show,
That is actually the intercepted message of the launching of the drone strike against civilian targets in Russia, correct?
Well,
I just want to get factually correct.
We do not. Let me make sure I get out of the screen safe. Hold on.
I mean, we got 40 seconds left of this segment, so I want to.
We do not know yet if that was as you described. We just know this was an intercepted signal that happened around the launch of the drone strike. So it may or may not have been an American launch. It may or may not have been an American PSYOP. It was definitely an American message. So the question becomes, what was the purpose of this message? And it did identify itself as, quote, Operation Fishhook. Now, Fishhook sounds suspicious about, are you trying to catch a fish? Are you trying to lure a nation or a people or media or something into an operation? Fishhook sounds suspicious. And the words that they said.
All right, and we are back with Scott Bennett, who is breaking news right now on InfoWars about a drone strike that was targeted to Russian civilians. Seems like the command was actually given by Americans. We don't know for certain, but it does look like something is awry with Operation Fishhook. So Scott is joining us again for a brief segment to finish up. Scott, it's clear that they want to force our hand into nuclear war. The powers that be will stop at nothing to stay in power. And if that means forcing a nuclear Armageddon, they're willing to do that. And it seems that this new information that just came out is par for the course.
It is par for the course, and it raises the question, what is the signal? Where did it emanate from? What was its purpose? Why was this American, who sounds very military, presenting this code? Was this to launch an operation? Was this to alert the U.S. CIA embassies, substations, and the military commands that an operation had been launched by Ukraine against civilian targets in Moscow, the heart of Russia, the capital of Russia? Was this an alert that the U.S. military was given? Was this a coordinated operation? Was this a NATO operation? We don't know the answers to that yet, but I just simply know that when I am brought on Russian television to do an interview, and they like me, they trust me, they know I'm honest, and I present a very clear, lucid, intelligent assessment, and I run this by people that I've known and worked with in the agencies, in the international arenas, in the military, they're interpreting and capturing a signal which they haven't released much about this, they haven't talked much about this, but they are scrutinizing that this sounds like an American signal that is a decipherable message that is titled Fishhook, with multiple stations involved. Now,
it begs journalists in the White House press corps to truly ask questions on Operation Fishhook and give the American people some real knowledge on what is taking place, considering that all of our lives are at stake. And let's say that it is the Americans and that we did do this. I mean, it certainly sounds like an American voice. I mean, that wasn't a British accent or a German accent. That was a you know, suburban kid who's now like 19 years old. So my question to you is, what do you think the Russian response will be if it does come out that this was a U.S. provoked attack?
Well, it's an act of war, isn't it? It's an act of war that the Biden administration, who is allegedly the commander-in-chief of the United States Armed Forces, has orchestrated an attack upon the capital of Russia, Moscow. I mean, this is right out of, Ghost Protocol, Mission Impossible 3 or 4 or whatever that is. This is right out of a Tom Clancy movie. And of course, the Democrat Biden administration are nothing but actors. But I think Russia is keeping this close to the vest. They're investigating it. But if this was Biden or the Biden administration or his handler, Barack Obama, then this was an act of war. And the U.S. Congress, among many other things, immediately needs to investigate this and have a hearing about this and have a hearing about what
it's wouldn't only just be an act of war. It would also be a war crime.
It is a war crime. It's an impeachable crime. He did this without the authority of the United States Congress. This is not picking a fight with man dress wearing, sandal wearing Middle Eastern bazaar workers. This is picking a fight with the hardened, most hardened army on earth with the best technology for war fighting, and that is Russia. And if we
have Nord Stream 2,
well, that is
clear that they want to provoke war.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the danger. And the reason that they're trying to provoke war is to hide in the ashes and the flames that the war would create. They're trying to hide from the accountability that the American people will inevitably hold them to in another version of our own French Revolution. I think they recognize that their necks are getting very close to the noose that the American people are going to put them in after due process of law.
We have our next guest. We need a little bit of a divergence from that. That was too intense. I do not want to go to war, America. Do we have Stacey Whited? Is she joined us? Okay. Our guest is joining us soon. Stacey Whited is the highly acclaimed host of The Prophetic Report. She's going to be joining us. We're going to have a discussion on faith, spirituality, the world. So much good stuff is coming down the pipes. We are not going to be victims to the Biden administration's fake war in Ukraine or their fake transgendered revolution. We got Stacey, so we're going to bring her in, and we're going to have some good things to say as we close up the war room today. Stacey, welcome to the war room.
Thank you, Adam. What an honor to be on with you today.
The honor's mine. Actually, I've been hearing a lot about you from some of our good mutual friends for quite some time. It's really great to finally meet you, and to meet you on live television is even better. So, Stacey
is... I know,
and
to be on InfoWars. We love Owen. You know, he's been on our show a couple of times. We actually have a band.video channel as well, so we love InfoWars.
That's for the Prophetic Report, right?
Yes, and Flyover Conservatives. So Prophetic Report is one I do on my own, and Flyover Conservatives is a show that I co-host with my husband, David.
Right. Excuse me. So your show, you cover topics like the resurrection, supernatural stuff. You're really into the church, revival. You and your husband just got back from a trip to Israel. I got some pictures of that I want to cover. I also got a little bit of a stage prop. I brought my shofar just for you, Stacey.
Love it. Check it out. I've got a few behind me as well. Look at that. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Hazak.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good on that, too. The smaller ones are harder to blow than the big ones.
Listen, I've been blowing shofar since I was a little boy.
Check this one out. I don't know if you can see it or not. Lion of Judah, I just got it when I was in Israel.
You got the big one.
Oh, yeah, this thing is past my waist. It is really big. It is amazing, though. I love it.
Those are the gazelle horns. I like them because they have, like, this really bass. They feel your soul. You know, like, the soul, it's like the way that we call out to God. We learn a lot from the shofar. Because it starts with a very tiny, tiny hole, and then the sound gets magnified, and that's kind of like our prayers. You just take one small step towards God, and God just brings it about in this much more revealed and grandiose way. So the shofar teaches.
That's that one is good. That'll preach right there.
Yeah, right? Wisdom
that
from the Torah,
awesome.
Baby. That's what it's about. So where did you go in Israel? Tell me about your trip.
Yeah, so we flew into Tel Aviv, and then we went to Tiberias. We were on an adventure tour, so we did some pretty cool hikes. They did something called the Jesus Trail, which was amazing. We were up and down that mountain. It was basically where Jesus would have gone when he was coming from Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee, and it was kind of that trek there. But that was pretty cool. We did a Jeep tour. We stayed in with the Bedouins in the tents in the desert. That was pretty amazing. We rode a camel. We drank the tea and the coffee. Yep.
Nice.
So how many times have you been to Israel before?
Yeah, actually, I lived in Israel for 3 years. I lived in the old city of Jerusalem, and I have gone through this with like a million people. I love it. Every summer, all the Christians would come to Jerusalem, and they would take the steps of the cross, and they'd go to Jesselmein and all sorts of cool stuff. Israel is like an amusement park for faithful people. That's really what it is.
That is for sure. That's what it was like for us. The first day that we got there, we were going to be there for 10 days. We were like, okay, we're coming back. You know, there's no way we're going to be able to catch it all. So it was absolutely amazing. We loved it. So you were there for 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. I was in the old city of Jerusalem. I learned I barely learned in yeshiva. I was like street taught Torah because I was so poor at the time in my life. I couldn't afford to go to yeshiva. So I would like paint houses or do whatever I could just so I could go to yeshiva and learn the word of God. But
wow.
I was there for 3 years, and I like that. I like that it was like struggle, you know, because like those who come to God easy, it's like, God, is he really paying attention? Those who struggle to get to God, that's the one where God tests you for everything going on in your life, and you show up, and then you truly feel the reward when the test is over and the reward begins. So it was very difficult. I enjoyed every moment of it. Israel is... truly a holy, holy place, a holy land. I lived in the old city of Jerusalem. I lived in the mystical city of Sfat, and I lived in Hebron, actually. I lived in Hebron for about 6 months, which was really cool. Did you go to Hebron?
Wow.
Tomb of the Patriarchs?
No, we didn't. One thing that I've always pronounced it Shiloh, but I found out when we got there, it's actually called Shiloh. And that was a really cool place, too. That was probably one of my highlights. To kind of see, you know, us, obviously,
honestly,
Joshua and Caleb were there. It was amazing.
Shiloh is one of my favorite places in Israel. It's like so under the table. Nobody goes there. It's really hidden. It's kind of like in a war-torn area, so you got to go through it. But just north of Shiloh is actually this small settlement called Itamar. Did you happen to go through Itamar?
Nope.
So in Itamar is probably one of the coolest places I've ever been to in Israel. It's the grave of Gidon. I think you guys call him Gideon or something like that.
Yes.
And it's on top of this mountain, and you just feel the thickness of the air. It's just like a different air. The air is different, you know. And but Israel's a very unique place. It's a mystical land filled with secrets that have been hidden from the world, and all sorts of different secrets. I mean, it's like a Knights Templar Crusader Fest, whatever you want in Israel. Like I said, it's like an amusement park for the faithful adults, especially if you like that kind of Indiana Jones vibe. But, you know, there's so many sites in Israel that are no longer, they're not a part of the Ministry of Tourism. They're like super off the beaten path. And they're like really like kind of like ancient antiquity sites that kind of dispel the narrative of modern history. You know, like, for instance, like giants roam the earth in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Well, they actually had buildings in Israel that aren't a part of the Ministry of Tourism, such as like Gilgal Rephaim. Did you happen to go see Gilgal Rephaim in the north?
We did not, but that would have been amazing.
Like
we
the
would have
Stonehenge
loved that.
Of Israel. They're like stone. It's like a Stonehenge. I've been there. It's incredible. They're like three concentric stones. Henge type of thing. It's in the north, and it's in the Galilee. But I think that's
so
cool.
It's interesting because my husband does a show called it's actually a brand new show, and he talks about things that are controversial, things that you know would be conspiracy. Calls it Conspiracy Conversations, and he's actually talked about the Nephilim before with the giants and what that looks like, and it's pretty interesting. Now, is that Masada there?
That is Masada, actually.
Yep, we hiked Masada. That was amazing to see, and obviously to hear the stories of that.
I actually don't like Masada, to tell you the truth. It's like so trendy, and everybody's always like, I got to go to Masada, and it's like a tale of Jewish suicide. I would have rather gone down fighting.
Agree. I agree. What was it, like 900 died?
Yeah, they took their own lives to prevent the Romans from killing them and raping their wives and stuff. But, like, I don't know. The story to me is, like, it always hit home. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of like one of those rebel Jews. I just want to fight. You know what I'm saying? I'm on InfoWars. I just want to fight. Give me the fight, baby. I'm not going to take my own life. I'm not even going down, but I'd rather go down standing than on my knees.
Weren't they there for, a few years, right? Where the Romans were kind of surrounding them. They were there for a long time in that process.
Yeah, well, they cut off supply routes, and Masada had all of its supply routes. It's written about in Josephus. You know, it just depends how accurate you think Josephus really is. You know, he was like a Jew riding with a sword on his neck. You know, it wasn't so peaceful. But when we come back from the break, we're going to get nitty and gritty with Stacy Whited, and we're going to go more into Israel, biblical mystery, and all sorts of fun stuff. Stay tuned, InfoWars. All right, welcome back, InfoWarriors. We are joined by Stacy Whited, the host of The Prophetic Report, which happens to be on band.video. But before we get back into this discussion, I just want to say, after this segment, we are going to be taking calls from our viewer audience. Please, the phone lines are open now. Call 877-789-2539. Again, 877-789-2539. We're going to be taking calls for the last 30 minutes of the show. But for now, we are back with Stacy Whited. We're having a good time. Stacy, this is like my favorite topic to talk about. I love God and I love the Torah. I even carry my Bible with me wherever I go. I beat it up, learn everything in it.
We love it.
We love it. But I want to shift gears because it's cool to do all the tourism stuff and talk about the giants and the aliens and all the stuff in the Bible, the lizard people, which are in the Bible. It does say that the snake had children. It says, I will put enmity between your children and her children, referring to Eve, Hava, and referring that the snake had children, the lizard people. So, but outside of all that conspiratorial stuff, I did see a post that your husband made about Netanyahu, that he was prophesying the return of Netanyahu and all this stuff. I think Netanyahu is evil. And I think he's a Nazi, actually. He's worse than evil. I think he actually works for the enemy. And the fact that he is back is totally upsetting to me. It's like the scariest thing in the world. It's like the end of all law and order in Israel. He's out there trying to challenge everything. This is a man. Did you happen to see him on his interview on Jordan Peterson about...
No, I didn't.
So he went on Jordan Peterson and pretty much says out loud, the parts you're not supposed to read, that he says Israel became the lab experiment, the lab for Pfizer. And to me, you know, I'm a Jew. I'm an Ashkenazi Jew. We grew up in this legacy. Never forget the Holocaust, everything, Holocaust, everything. You know what I'm saying? And it, like, sickens me that, like, you know, because Pfizer is clearly an Operation Paperclip company. It's well-documented, well-known that they received the bulk of the research of Joseph Mengele, which was testing on the Jews. How Israel signed the exclusive deal with Pfizer, that was all Bibi Netanyahu, and he's proud of it. And that's, like, something, like, kind of like, you know, it's like a cultural thing. Like, as Jews, we know about being experimented on, and it's like a cultural sensitivity, something that Bibi Netanyahu just didn't have. He had no problem signing over all of the genetic pool of the Jewish nation, supposedly the chosen people. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but maybe it is. I don't know. But now all these genetics have been tampered with, and these are some of the most beautiful ancient genetics on the planet. I always joke around about King Charles that his family is like only 1,000 years old. Mine's 3,000 years old. My lineage is huge, you know? And so, like, when you take these really ancient genetics, these holy genetics, and you just destroy them with these vaccines, you know, how can this guy be a savior or a hero? And I know that in the Christian community, he's looked at as a savior because he's, or a hero of some sorts. He's been very good to the Christian community, but I want to get your take on it because I know that you and your husband are big supporters of Bibi, and I think it's important that you guys know how the unvaccinated Jewish population feels about this man.
It's an interesting thing. I would go back to even President Trump on that. Obviously, President Trump was big on the vaccine. He's still touting, you know, the progress that he made with that and still very proud of what he did. And I'm a big President Trump fan, but I would say that's something that he is, I would ask him for sure, and I want answers for. I don't know why he would think that's okay. I'm definitely against the vaccination, and we've seen as time goes by how dangerous it is and what it's done to our population. You know, thousands or millions have been hurt. I don't even know how many have died, but, you know, it's really sad how many have died. It's just a really sad situation. I would agree 100% on that. We are completely against the vaccination. It's interesting, though, on Netanyahu and President Trump, how we really do feel in the Christian community that they are anointed, and prophets are speaking that, you know, right now in the Christian community, that Netanyahu and President Trump are both anointed for this time. I don't know if you've got that video or not that I sent, or if you're able to play it. If you can't, I can give the
date. About your husband making those predictions?
No, no. It was just a video that I sent over earlier today with Kristen. If you don't have it, it's okay. I'll give the dates. But it's interesting how, you know, prophetically they were calling Netanyahu back. And I'll kind of, let me just kind of get some dates on it. On October 26, 2021, Robin Bullock was actually prophetically speaking, you know, Netanyahu, it's time to come back. And April the 19th, 2022, he did the same thing, but he did the same thing with President Trump, saying, President Trump, it's time to make your way back. And then April the 21st, reiterated that. April the 23rd, or October the 23rd of 2022, he was talking about Israel, Robin Bullock was the prophet, and he was saying, and who has a voice? Netanyahu, it's time to come back. November 3rd is when Prime Minister, he was voted back as Prime Minister Netanyahu, and it was an interesting time there. Obviously, you know this, Adam, where, you know, there was 5 elections in 4 years. But what's also interesting is President Trump announced his 2024 campaign on November the 15th. So Netanyahu, November 3rd, was back in office, and then November the 15th, 2022, is when President Trump announced that he would be going again for 2024. And so just prophetically, it's interesting to watch how those two go together. You know, obviously, you know this. There's a covenant between God and Israel. No doubt about it. God made a covenant with Israel. Those are his chosen people. No doubt about it.
I don't want to say Israel. I think you're mistaken here. I think that God made a covenant between himself and the Jewish people. And that's very distinct difference. The government of Israel is very anti-Jewish. They give off this image that it's like Jews in charge, but it's not Jews in charge. Jews aren't allowed to go to the Temple Mount. There is like 100 ancestors of mine whose graves I'm not even allowed to go visit because they're in territories that I can't go to. And my government, or the, because I actually am a dual citizen of Israel and America, born in America, America first, but whatever, happened to be a dual citizen. But the government of Israel, they don't let you go to the tomb of Joseph. They don't let you go to the tomb of Rachel. They don't let you go to the tomb of Samuel the prophet. There's so many different people that the government withholds from us because they know that these are activation points of prayer. They don't want Jews praying in these places because it could change the entire fabric of the world. Mm-hmm. So the government of Israel gives off like this illusion that it's controlled by Jews while they create like this perpetual state of warfare, you know. And look, I have the prayer for the soldiers of Israel. Soldiers of Israel are not the government of Israel. These are just Jewish people who are out there defending Jews. And if the army truly understood how deeply embedded the government was to the side of the other side, I mean, Ehud Barak was intimately involved in Jeffrey Epstein's island. Bibi Netanyahu is a World Economic Forum member. And, you know, I never really started to believe the rumors of the Khuzaris and all that stuff until the Bibi Netanyahu fiasco. And it makes perfect sense that this that there is, because the Khuzars were like this nation that was forcefully converted. It would make sense that they would vie for power in order to not be a part of the whole regime system. So unfortunately, we're running out of time. We could continue this segment for a little bit more on the flip side after. All right, and we are back with Stacey Whited. We are on such fire right now, Stacey. We're going to continue the segment. We're going overtime. I actually found the clip from Bibi Netanyahu and Jordan Peterson. I got that out to the crew. We're going to get this out there because it's important that you as a Christian leader, especially in the evangelical movement, your prayers are so potent, and you need to stop praying for these evil people. It's very important, and the truth about these people needs to come out there. I know it's bad marketing, but you want to know something? Truth is better than good marketing. So,
I just want to say, too, Adam, that, again, prophetically, this is what we are hearing. This is what the prophets are saying in the Christian community. And so that's where we're getting the information. God is speaking through them. And I do agree. There needs to be answers to exactly what you said there about the vaccinations. No doubt about it. But at this point, through the Christian community, we do believe that Netanyahu is anointed for the position that he's in. That's why he's back
possibly
in there.
For and destruction. Definitely
well,
not
can
for,
I,
you
can
know.
Can I finish what I was going to say, Adam?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, and we do believe that President Trump is anointed for his position as well. And so what I was saying earlier, and thank you for correcting me on that, with a covenant with the Jewish people that are in Israel, and there's also a covenant with the United States because the United States made a covenant with God that truly they put him first above all things in creating this country. And so these two covenants, it's interesting how they go together, that they are together. And I just think it's fascinating to watch as this unfolds. Prophetically, it's been spoken that President Trump would have two terms. It was spoken in 2007 by Kim Clement. It's been spoken several times since then by several Christian prophets. And so it'll be interesting to see what that looks like in 2024. But I am interested in how these two come together and why it's been spoken through the prophets. So, but I am in total agreement, Adam, both of them, both need to be talking about why the vaccination, because it is a death weapon that's been used on not just the Jewish people, but all humanity, and we need answers.
And the craziest thing about it and is that in Israel, most of the people had six shots before. Actually, we got the clip ready, so we're going to play the clip, and we're going to let everybody hear from the words of this Nazi filth bad actor, Bibi Netanyahu himself. This is me trying not to cuss on television. Let's play the clip.
One example, so you'll see, because I don't want to bore you with detailed plans, but they are detailed in my mind.
They're detailed.
We came out of COVID first. I described that in my book, My Conversations with Albert Bourla of Pfizer, and I persuaded him to give tiny Israel the necessary vaccines to get us out first from the COVID. And the reason I could do that is because we have a database, 98%, a medical database, 98% of our population has digitized medical records and little card. And anywhere you go in any hospital in Israel, north, south, doesn't make any difference. Boom, you punch it in and you know everything about this patient for the last 20 years. I said, we'll use that to tell you whether these vaccines, what do they do to people, not individual people, not with their individual identities, but statistically, what does it do to people with, meningitis? What does it do to people with high blood pressure? What is it? You know, you want to know that. So Israel became, if you will, the lab for Pfizer. And that's how we did it. We got it out. We gave the information to the world. Not only it's been published in medical magazines and so on.
Stacey.
Yeah, that is definitely sad when you hear that. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a sad situation. No doubt about that. And we need answers for that. We need answers from him. We need answers from President Trump.
Without a doubt. And here's the thing. In a prior life, I actually had a position in with Israel Medical Foreign Aid. And it was a job I took a long time ago, many years. We had a priority to promote Israel medicine to the world, and I happened to have the job during the time of the Ebola outbreak, and Israel was the first to come with an oral-based vaccine. Now, COVID hit, and Israel had an oral-based vaccine that it developed that the Netanyahu administration locked up in bureaucracy while they signed an exclusive deal with Pfizer. You know, for... oh my God. See, it boils my blood. I just can't you know, Pfizer is a Nazi company. They're all tied into what I call the rise of the Fourth Reich. Now, the Nazis, they didn't lose. They just had to put their plans on hold for 75 years. And what they did, you think that they just, like, forgot about Israel? Like, oh, the Jews that escaped, you know, Buchenwald. Like, no, that's not what happened. They went after Israel, and that's why Israel has six shots of this death drug. Now, the Mossad was intimately involved in Jeffrey Epstein's island. We know that from Ghislaine Maxwell's father and all that stuff. Ehud Barak, former prime minister of Israel, liberal commie scumbag, World Economic Forum whore, also on Jeffrey Epstein's island, went into Jeffrey Epstein's house. I mean, these are some real shady details that we need to know. You know, and a lot of people, you talk about this stuff, and they're like, oh, you're an anti-Semite, the ADL gets involved. Someone like me comes around wearing a yarmulke, talking about God with his Bible and everything. You can't shut me up. This is a real story, and they're trying to kill Jews. I hear every single day, sudden adult death syndrome in it's not even adult, sudden child. I just heard of a child, 12-year-old girl, dropped dead in the middle of school in Israel.
Everywhere.
It's crazy.
Everywhere. It is really, really sad. I totally agree. No doubt about that. It is
a terrible situation. Yeah, and I want to put out information because I know you're super connected in the whole prophetic evangelical community. And these people need to know what they're prophesying about. They need to know that a lot of these people pray for this man, and they need to be praying for his destruction. Now, I like to talk about the Messiah a lot because the Messiah is something that I live by 24/7. I'm like totally about what we call Mashiach. Don't care who he is. When he comes, he comes. So, like, from my vantage point and my perspective, I always tell my friends, the Mashiach will not be televised. Except on InfoWars. The Mashiach, the Messiah, will definitely be broadcast on InfoWars. Now, there are these forces that limit the Messiah coming. Their whole objective is to prevent the return of to prevent the Messiah from ending what is called this phase called the Tehillat HaMetim, the revivification of the dead, when the dead come back to life. It's like talked about in all religions. You know, so it's this thing that's gonna happen. They want to stave this off, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to eliminate the state of Israel. They're trying to eliminate the Jewish people, and they're using this vaccine protocol. And I feel so bad for everybody trapped in Israel under this brutal regime of Netanyahu. And it's not just Netanyahu. It's his opposition, Ayelet Shaked, Naftali Bennett. All these people are in on it too. Ayelet Shaked said, don't let them out of their home. Drag them out of their homes and force them to take the injections. She was like the woman on the right. She was like, for a minute, the hero of the Jewish people. And now she's just another Nazi waiting to get in line to goose step.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we as Christians believe that the Messiah came 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ. But, you know, I think across the country, I mean, across the world with the World Economic Forum, what we're seeing from Klaus Schwab, what we're seeing, you know, from all of these, the cabal, there is a death sentence that they're trying to put on everyone. The elites are wanting to live and the world to die. And, you know, obviously it's a major problem. That's why our slogan at Flyover Conservatives is wake up, speak up, and show up. And the reason for that is because conservatives took a real pride in being part of the silent majority. You know, they were, hey, we're part of the silent majority. And it's like, no longer can we do that. We have to bring this plumb line of conservatism of the Bible to all these different spheres of influence, whether it be education, arts and entertainment, government, media, religion, family, business. We have to show up. And what's happened is we haven't been showing up. And that's why the cabal has taken over. But it's not the majority of the people. It's a very small percentage. And if we stand up and we use our voices, we can take care of this. If we link arms and we pray, I guarantee you.
I always wanted to do this. I watch Owen kill it every single time, and it's an honor to host on the War Room. So we're going to take Candace from Tennessee calling about a psychic that worked for the U.S. in Israel. Go ahead. You're on the War Room.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, Uri Geller, he was a Mossad Israeli intelligence and worked with ARPA and the State Department. This was during the 70s. He is one of Benjamin Netanyahu's close friends. And this Uri Geller was known to bend spoons and metal with his mind and implant thoughts into other people's minds without words. And they would have parties in the 70s where they would do these bending spoon parties and watch him do these psychic things. He originally worked with the Israeli intelligence. Then he came over here, worked with the State Department, ARPA, then went back over there. So here's the very interesting part, is that we now know that COVID was all pre-planned, especially with the pandemic rhetoric at the Oslo College being funded by the Norwegians. This started back May 23rd, 2019. So these psychics are not trying to, you know, ever alert anyone to bioweapons, and they're surrounding themselves, you know, around these, you know, intelligence groups and world leaders, but these world leaders aren't trying to give their population, like, herd immunity through natural immunity.
Yeah. I don't know about Uri Geller. I remember watching him my whole life. He's like a spoonbender telekinesis type of magician, like a David Blaine type of a guy. I don't know if he's legit. I don't know what his MO is, but that's an amazing point. Why? Where were these people when they were calling COVID? Why didn't they know that COVID came? Great point.
Especially if we're going to talk about prophecy, and these people are being psychic or trying to prophesize the future through, you know, their use of powers with, you know, God. And what's very interesting is here in Nashville, Tennessee, the conservative Christians are Freemasons that are dominating people in basically rituals, sexual exploitation, financial exploitation. This has been going in my life. Candace K. Morris, everyone can find me on Facebook. I'm at Queen of the Juicy on Twitter. And I've been trying to raise awareness to these conservative Christians that are Freemasons that are in the electrical business. If anyone does shut down the electric grid, it is these white supremacists trying to kick the can down the road, the can of whoop-ass down the road. And, again, all of these guys I've been complaining on for years.
Yeah, great caller. Thank you very much. I definitely think, though, that if they do cut the electric, it's going to be the Biden administration, the secret government, and the Russians. But great caller on that, Uri Geller. Way to point him out. We're going to take Flex from Washington. You're on the line. Welcome to the War Room.
Hey, what's up, dude? Kamala Harris is so ugly, she thought that a quarterback was a refund. Joe Biden is so dumb that he thought lipstick on his forehead would make up his mind. Hey, man. Dude, 18-year listener, man. One of my biggest prayers. That last joke was from one of my daughters, but she's a little shy right now. But the last one, man, 18-year listener, dude, I used to tell my soldiers back in the day, you know, they would ask where I'd get this information. I mean, all the callers, everybody on the crew, you guys, I always prayed that your arms would be lifted up like Moses's was. And, as far as the book of Revelation, you know, I see it holding up a standard, and that's what you guys are doing, dude. I don't got much, man, but I mean, that's what you guys are doing, holding up a standard against the, you know what I mean? And not that great awakening that everyone is talking about. There's not just InfoWars. There's Project Veritas, the Hodge twins. I gotta talk about the twins, man. I mean, you guys are just killing it, man, killing it.
We're doing our best. We appreciate the love. Thank you very much for the call and the jokes, too. Your daughter's crushing it. She's probably the funniest girl in her class. We're going to take John from Virginia next. Welcome to the War Room, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just had a question because I know I have some progressive friends that, you know, they talk about Medicare for all with me. And just for the record, I don't have a stance on this, but I was kind of interested to get your take on why you think conservatives don't support Medicare for all.
I think that conservatives, I don't really know about speaking for conservatives anymore, because we're not like a block group. I could speak for myself and what I prefer as a what I consider myself being a conservative. I would like to see bringing down the cost of health care as opposed to being able to make everybody be able to afford health insurance. If, for instance, in the call earlier with Charlene Bollinger, chemotherapy is $60,000. Nothing has changed since 1970 about it, but the price has gone up. So if we could do more to regulate the cost of healthcare, we're not going to have to require health insurance for everybody. I think that's the correct approach. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the question. I'm going to take Mike from Maryland. You're on the War Room.
Hey, man, what's going on? Great show today. I'm going to keep this brief. That message that message that your last guest played, that radio message, it's a Sky King message. And they're broadcast to the U.S. Air Force assets. You go to 4chan, go to poll, search for Sky King threads. You'll find all kind of examples of that. And you can listen in on any ham radio or even over the internet.
So what's your take on the whole Ukraine thing? Did the U.S. do you think that the U.S. was behind that drone strike on civilians?
I would assume that they coordinated some assets. So I would definitely assume that they played a role in it. Yeah.
These people won't stop at anything until they could get us into a nuclear war with Russia. It's pretty freaky, but I really appreciate that comment. So basically, you're saying that is just basic standard military command. That's nothing.
Yeah, correct. It's sent over the open frequency airwaves, and they encrypt the message. That's why there was all those weird alphanumeric characters in there, because only they know how to decode them.
Well, I appreciate the. Absolutely. Yeah, I was wondering, you know, what are all those Alpha Foxtrot, Tango, Bravo type stuff. So I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. We're going to go to Johnny in Denmark. We got international callers.
Oh, hi. Great job you're doing. You're very welcome. You deserve it. Just wanted to throw my support firmly behind Dr. Shiva Ayadure's announcement of his candidacy for U.S. president, and I'm kind of glad I did it because your quote screener was probably at least 100 times and probably 1,000 times as knowledgeable as the average American. When I said Dr. Shiva, he said Dr. Shiva, and I had to say Ayadure. He used to be a regular guest on InfoWars. I'll get to that in a minute. Three interesting websites, vashiva.com, truthfreedomhealth.com, and his motto is get educated or be enslaved, and shivaforpresident.com, where four is a digit. Just a little background, like Drs. Bruce Lipton and Nick Begich, who is also a regular on InfoWars and, in fact, a regular guest host, he's one in probably literally a billion medical, scientific, and general polymath. Credentials, MIT, BS, MS, MENG, PhD, a Fulbright scholar and distinguished lecturer, the inventor of civilian email at the age of 14 years old. The mainstream media makes like it's controversial. It's not controversial at all. He actually has a copyright on it. CytoSolve, which is one of the greatest inventions of the century, AI-enabled CRM, et cetera, and world-leading health expert. And right now, as I was listening to the show, I noticed an interview went up. Our own Christy Lee interviewed him, and it's on YouTube, and it's Will You Be Fooled Again? And he had previous videos, America Needs a President Who's a Real American. And he does a good job of exposing the not-so-obvious establishment, as he calls it. And he had one very interesting video, government front
running
man.
Running out of time here on the segment. I just want to... Closing words. I just want to wrap you up. Sorry to cut you off. We're about to run out of time and the show's about to end. I really want to thank you for the Dr. Shiva, the information on Dr. Shiva. I've been telling everybody we need many people running for president in this campaign. So I welcome Dr. Shiva. Thank you for bringing awareness to Dr. Shiva. We need 15 more candidates before we're done. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I am Adam King, the host of The Adam King Show. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. He will be back tomorrow. Stay classy, InfoWarriors.